live. Welcome back to Offbeat POV. Why are you laughing?
We are what?
Live. I said live.
You wanted to say we are back, didn't you?
No, we're live. Okay. Welcome back to Offbeat POV. Are you guys done?
Go on.
Do you guys want to do the intro?
No, it's okay. Fine. Go on.
Then, as I was saying, welcome back to Offbeat PO.
I don't even know why she's laughing. I'm not going to lie. It's the Haribo that she had.
You said then what I was saying. Anyway, carry on.
I don't really know what's going on.
Gents, welcome back to Offbeat POV. As I was saying, we hope you missed us because we missed being here. So, for our keen listeners, of course, we've been away for a while. I'm not sure how many weeks now. Instead of one thing, then another. But
life.
We're back now. And as you can see, we are not in our studio.
And as you can hear.
And as you can hear as well, obviously.
Right here in the train that's passing by in the background.
It will sound a bit different while we're in this room. So in case you missed the update, our studio got flooded. We're currently in the process of repairing that, cleaning it, and redesigning it. Because, you know, there's a silver lining to every cloud. So we get to redesign our studio now. So that's cool. But yes, so in the meantime, of course, we'll be here in the living room, which is still pretty nice, but of course it might sound a bit different, so just bear with us.
Lounge. No, dining room.
What did I say?
Living room.
Is that what I said?
It is.
I'm pretty sure I said dining room.
No, you didn't.
Okay, doesn't matter. Yes, for the time that we're in this room, just bear with us. We won't do anything. We'll just be here.
You're going to fancy it up.
Yeah, I was going to fancy and try and say, we'll just be here. But yes, without further ado, we just dive straight in because, of course, we've been away for a while. So where to start? I think let's start with probably one of the most recent things that have happened, which is the winner of BGT.
Vigoven.
Which, one more time.
Hyvis jacket won loud. Britain's Got Talent.
Hyvis jacket did not win.
It's Britain's put all Hyvis jacket wearers at work on the map. Now people will see people in Hyvis jacket and they'll know what's going on. Vigoven. They'll literally look at them, Vigoven. You know, all them road people that close roads, you know, that the ones that we get upset with so much because they divert and stuff. Now we might just be like, oh, Vigoven, keep up the good work because of Vigoven.
But I don't think you keep saying his name so wrong that so, I don't even know. So, and what
it's such an easy name to get right. I don't understand where.
His name is
Vigoven.
Yeah, that's what I said. Vigoven.
You said Vern. You said Vigoven.
But there's no I in it.
No, there's no I in it. It's Evi. It's V E double N.
Vigoven.
Vigoven is not actually a Hyvis worker. He just wears Hyvis.
I know. But he's put the Hyvis wearers on the map.
No, he's put the Hyvis on the map, not the Hyvis wearer.
Yeah, but you don't ever see a Hyvis by itself just floating.
Oh, you will now.
No, you won't, because it's always on a body. It's always on somebody. No, but when was last you walked into a shop and you saw them being sold? You don't even know where they're being sold. They're always there, but
everywhere.
They're sold in places where Hyvis places
wearers are exactly.
Which is like, trades places.
Exactly. All I'm saying is, well done, Virgo friends. Vigoven.
Anyway, Hyvis is not win. A comedian won Britain's Got Talent, which I thought was a very funny comedian.
So Pronik has a shot.
And if anything, it just shows that Britain really just wanted to have a good laugh. Because, I mean,
you say they wanted
he beat
to have
some
a good
pretty
laugh.
Serious talent, you to really be fair. Did.
Like what?
Like the girl that he was up against, she was really good. To be fair, I watched her audition. I was like, ah, she was all right. And then I missed her semi-final performance, but then I watched her final performance and I was like, okay, no, she's really good. So I wouldn't have been surprised if she won, but no, Vigo took it. And he made some serious talent. And of course, Musa as well. I mean, I don't know if he was winner material, but, you know, he bit him.
Where did the Ghetto Kids come?
Ghetto Kids.
They didn't even make it the top three. They were good. I don't think the final performance was winning worthy, though.
I don't think so either.
To be fair. I think that's in hindsight, I don't think because their audition just wowed everybody so much that it was really hard to. It was going to be hard for them to top their audition.
Well,
or to top the feeling of their audition.
Mm-hmm. No, but that's why. That's the pressure you put yourself when your audition is really good. Mm. You know, it's. Which is why I feel like if you have audition Brands Got Talent, you want your audition to be good enough for you to go through. But not great. You want your semi-final performance to be... No, that's what I'm saying. You have to be good enough for you to go through. Semi-final performance to be great. So it's like, oh my God, you've really improved from last time we saw you. Save the like outstanding stuff for the finals.
I think that's what everybody tries to do. It just doesn't always
happen. Some people,
I feel like some people go in with their best material.
On the audition, you're like, okay, where are you going to go after that?
As Alicia walk off stage thinking, snap, I think we done screwed up.
Like, we should have done that. We should have held back some of the tricks. No, it's like, if you have like 5 tricks on the audition, maybe do like 2. And then keep the other 3, 4 for later on. But anyway, that's not the point. The point was, of course, obviously Viggo Venn won. Some people are happy about it. Some people are sad about it.
Typical Britain.
Firstly, do you think he was the right winner this year?
Listen, when it comes to talent, as in things that maybe other people can't do, then no. Because there were some really talented people this year. People that can do impeccable things. So from that aspect, maybe not necessarily. I wouldn't say he was the most talented person on that stage. However, when you're in a show like Britain's Got Talent, it is about getting the audience on your side, getting the public on your side. And that's what he managed to achieve. Though, you know, like when we used to watch X Factor and the judges would be like, oh, you've just got the X Factor. I can't put a finger on it, but that's what he brought to the table. So yes, we can say, like you were saying, we could all go around on a stage and wave around a Hy-Vis vest. We're probably not going to get the reaction that the audience got. We'll probably get booed and the red buzzers would go off and there we go. But there was just something within him that he just brings in his personality, in his characterization, in the way that he moves, in the way that he interacts with people that just made him stand out enough for people to be like, yeah, we're going to vote. Even if there were banterous votes, he still made that kind of impression for people to be like, wouldn't it be banter if he won?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, actually, based on that, I was going to say no as well, but based on that, I would say, yeah, he was the right person to win. Because it's not the judges that are like deciding who wins and who loses, right? It's the public. So what it essentially means is that enough people liked him to pick up their phones and vote winner BGT. Has to be him, and it takes talent to convince people that you have talent enough for them to pick up their phone and vote, or through their app, whatever. I think, actually, based on that, no, I think the man is talented. There was this clip that I watched of you remember Ace Venture? What's his name? What's his actual name?
Ace Venture. Oh, Jim Carrey.
Yeah, there was this clip when he was making some weird speech or whatever. He thought a certain character was posing to be a woman, right? Mm. But he wasn't a woman. But she was actually. I don't know what the movie was, but. The person was actually a woman, but he thought she was posing to be a woman, but it was a man. So, you know, the whole... So there was this part when he was mimicking her and he tilted his head up and moved his mouth to the side and spoke like a penguin, like... Wah, 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 wah. It was just a split moment and then he continued in the whole thing, yeah? Enough for people maybe not even to, like, notice. But I could not stop watching that clip. I'm like, my days, this is talent. Like, how the heck did he do that? When I get hold of it, I'll show you. It was the weirdest thing. I was like, mama, 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 mama. And then continued. Viggo Venn gives me that kind of like vibe. Like, they are just saying, I think it was the hair, even the hair, the way he's, everything about him was just something that makes you want to enjoy with him. And that's, at the end of the day, it's a talent show. It's an entertainment show. He entertained, you know? So yeah, actually, I was going to say no as well, but based on that, yeah, we're the winner.
But I think the British public as well got it right in the sense that there's just been so much serious stuff that we just needed to be like, yeah, we do have a goofy, stupid side. So yes, we're going to vote for this guy. No one knows what he actually does or what he's telling.
Literally, nobody knows what he actually does.
You keep calling him a comedian.
He called himself a comedian.
Yeah, but you
and
remember when he was like...
stand-up jokes.
He did one. And he looked at her and they go like, oh, I've done stand-up. And then was like laughing and then he continues. Even he knows he's not a stand-up comedian.
No, he's a comedian. He never said stand-up. He said comedian. I think he would be a good stand-up comedian, but obviously when he came on BGT, I think like Bruno said, obviously he came with the character Viggo Venn, because Bruno likened him to like Mr. Bean or something.
Something like that.
So he created a character, that's the thing. That's the talent. But the that's not the point. The point was, obviously, I don't know if he lives in the UK now, but obviously he's Norwegian. Originally.
Oh, that was so funny. And, did you guys want to hear a Norwegian joke?
You see? You're still thinking of material even now. That's talent, Lorenz. I guess it's that thing, like you know when people watch Mr. Bean and they think, this is so stupid, but then you have that to be seriously talented. No, no. Yeah. You have to be seriously talented to be as stupid as that. Mr. Bean.
Yeah. And then go back to serious, like, Rowan Atkinson is a serious guy, you know? He's an intelligent...
Not about serious, but he's a very smart...
He's a very smart, intelligent guy.
But it's only smart people that come up with those kind of characters. Because silly people, they just be themselves half the time. Wow. But the point is, a lot of people were unhappy about the level of non-British contestants on BGT this year.
See, those kind of... Anyway, go on.
Go on.
No, I mean, not to cut you or anything, but the show is a British TV show. Mm. The auditions are open to everybody, right? And you have British people without talent or with talent, you know, whatever it is, not applying. And then you have foreigners, you know, or non-born British, you know, British people applying for it and going in and winning. Why are you complaining? You know, go audition. Tell your whole street to go audition. Like, I don't get it.
For me, sometimes, like, who are you complaining to? Because your complaints are misplaced. If the criteria to apply for the show allows people from outside of the UK to apply,
and that's another thing as well.
Who's fault is that? Go complain to Simon Cowell, because you're putting it on your Twitter for us to do what with?
Well, or maybe for them, they're saying, no, ITV, you should limit the auditions to just British people.
Or
British residents.
That would actually be fine, because I'm not going to lie to you guys, would right? It? I think so, because at the end of the day, it is Britain's Got Talent, right? Mm. If you're an American person, there's America's Got Talent. If you're Australian, there's Australia's Got Talent.
And then if you're from South Africa.
If you're from South Africa, we're getting there. I mean, have you guys seen Malawi's Got Talent? The one that article on that posted? You know, for me, I don't know. It would be fine. Yeah, it would be fine. But as long, like what Fatsana said, as long as you've opened it to everybody, you can't complain. Because what you know, for me, it actually stood out to me when I started seeing, like, a few seasons ago, so many years ago, when people would actually come from France or come from like Africa specifically for that. Mm-hmm. And then they're actually being asked, oh, where have you come from? Or why Britain's Got Talent? They actually take pride in that as well. It's like, oh, people are coming to Britain's Got Talent. Mm. It's called Britain's Got Talent for a reason, guys. Like, I think you're missing the point. But they wanted that. They got it. Now, of course, a lot of us are going to start winning. I'm going, by the way, next year. Okay. Sorry.
Well, you say a lot of us. To be fair, I'm pretty sure Viggo Venn is a British resident, but I don't think any foreigner has won Britain's Got Talent. To be fair. In fact, actually, during this year, there was a lot of them, especially ones you're talking about just coming specifically for the show. Mm. But looking at the final, I think it was only Ghetto Kids and the I'm Wearing Pants guy.
Don't worry.
I'm wearing pants.
I think they're the only ones that traveled specifically for BGT. I think everyone else was a UK resident.
They're complaining about the number of participants.
In the competition itself. Because in the auditions, it was definitely a lot. I'm pretty sure there was an episode where every single person was like, I've come. I didn't watch all the semis, so I don't know.
If somebody just tunes in that part,
they'll be like, "How? I wanted to watch Britain's Got Talent."
No, but I mean, obviously, when you're a foreigner like that, you haven't got that automatic backing of your city or your whatever.
You're not gonna win.
Therefore, it's very hard for you to get all the votes. Unless, of course, you're Viggo Venn, in which case you win everybody's hearts with laughter.
Do you think all the Norwegians voted through the app and that's why he won?
I doubt it, because I don't think they'll be able to vote in Norwegian unless they all use a VPN, which would be surprising if the whole Norwegian uses a VPN. What did I say?
Norwegian, you have to.
I wanted to say if all Norwegians, that's what I wanted to say. You use a
Do you think they all came to the UK. And
in which case, VPN loves sponsored podcasts, so, you know.
Huh? What?
VPNs love sponsored podcasts, so, you know.
Podcasts.
So, you know, if any VPN providers are listening and you're looking for people to sponsor, we'll just give you a shout out for free. Yes, but so what you guys are saying is that the increase of non-British participants in BGT is not an issue.
No,
I'm not saying it's not an issue. I'm saying don't complain.
No. But what I'm asking, or what I want to get to the bottom of, is do these people have a point? The ones that are saying, I thought this was meant to be Britain's Got Talent.
Yes.
Why are there so many foreigners on there?
Yes, I think.
What I don't understand is, do they have a point? Or do they not have a point?
I think they do, but I think it needs to be looked into properly, because, like what you're saying, the winner was a Norwegian nationality, but a resident of the UK, right? For we don't know how long. So I think, for me, if we're talking about foreigners that are residents in the UK, I think that should be fine. That should be okay, because they are in Britain. They are residents of Britain.
Mm-hmm.
I think the policies or rules or whatever should allow such people to compete, right? Mm-hmm. But those that are literally flying in from a different country just to come and join, I think definitely that maybe can be looked into. I think maybe not saying no per se, but start with maybe accepting applicants from the mainland first.
Do you know what I think they should do? They should do a year where they ban international contestants, and then let's see what the show looks like.
It'll be the most boring. Everyone will come singing opera.
it'll be singers and dancers.
Singers and dancers, loads of literally. Dog shows. Oh, and magicians. Oh, and dog shows. Yeah, you're right. Magicians as well, I think.
So I think that's how to decide that argument. Just do a year where it's literally British born and bred.
So you're saying all the interest and talents are abroad?
I'm
not saying Britain's got no talent, but it's meant to be a variety show. I don't know how much variety we would actually get.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so because all the most interesting, no, not interesting, I guess different acts this year, I guess they have been quite foreign. Because I'm wearing pants.
I'm wearing pants.
What an act, but of course foreigner as well. Get together dancers, so we get lots of dance.
We
groups.
Do get lots of dancers
like that.
I mean, to be fair, after the audition, there wasn't really anything else that they did that was like, oh, that was great.
Nah.
The yo-yo guys.
Oh, I was fascinated by the yo-yo guys. Did you see?
I didn't watch the yo-yo guys.
That's a talent. I watched it and I was like, this is what Britain's Got Talent is all about, but. Anyway, that's fine. This is not a show on Britain's Got Talent. I just found it interesting that Viggo Venn won. And
one
of course,
time.
A quarter of a million.
Conversation about.
To go do one more time.
I'm going to buy the most expensive Hy-Vis he can find.
Trust me.
Gold plated.
The king is going to go to town with that.
The king better wear a Hy-Vis jacket.
Trust me. If he can actually manage to get the king to wear a Hy-Vis jacket, I'll be like, Where the winner?
Oh, well, I mean, he better do, because otherwise, we don't know what his variety.
Exactly.
No, but to be fair. Because I caught him on the semi-final performance and I was like, this guy is a genius. So I watched the audition to see what he did. I know, it seems like he'll do different things. He's a variety show in himself.
But he still needs to get the king to wear a
Hy-Vis.
100%. Okay, but anyway.
The king will probably be like, never. I feel like a poor person.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so what else since we've been gone has been of interest?
Philip. Or the Schofield.
Alexis Holfield.
Oh, you just asked a question and I
answered. So you give me one word answer. Okay, fine. Yes, that's done. Podcast over then. That's great, guys. That was a great welcome back to the episode. What the hell?
The whole Philip scandal. I don't know. Maybe I'm of the opinion. The guy did what he did, but I don't understand why he's being dragged through the mud.
So maybe provide a brief update so that, you know, anyone who isn't up to date can be caught up to date and take it from there.
You had one job.
Listen, he hasn't made
one
any noise
job.
Yet. He hasn't made any noise
Let's
yet.
See if he's going to take whatever he wants to take in silence.
Okay. Is it opening his crisp by the time.
I don't know how you're going to open them.
He's going to have to go outside to open it.
This is what happens when you record in the main house, yeah. Right? You're dealing with other people
other
who
humans
are using
that
the house.
Live here.
Okay, go.
So synopsis on what happened with Philip. So Philip Schofield, the IT, not the ITV presenter. So Philip Schofield, the ITV presenter for This Morning, had to resign from his job. And then he obviously made a statement to say he had an affair with a younger colleague at work, which transpired he lied about. So I don't know if maybe he was asked questions about it. And he said, no, they were not, you know, intermingling. But obviously now everybody, by the sounds of it, hates the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just being dragged on and dragged on and dragged on. It's like everybody's coming out with their own statements about the situation. Philip is doing interviews left, right, and center. And obviously the one quote that keeps being mentioned is the whole, what's his thing? He did something unwise but not illegal.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously people are like, well, he met this young lover when the young lover was much younger, did it groom him, this, that, and the other. So it's a whole situation for Philip.
Mm, okay, fine. So that's the situation. So what a Gwan?
I don't know. Firstly, why is everybody mad at him? Because if people should be mad at him, it should be his wife, who's now, I'm guessing, his ex-wife, ITV, who are his employers. And then leave it at that. That's those are the people he's wronged. Who else has he wronged?
It's not that simple, though, is it? Unfortunately, when you live life in the limelight like that, you give up certain society norms. You know, my business is my business. Leave me alone. There's no such thing because you have people that look up to you. You have people that follow you. You know, you have people that you inspire. Now you can turn around and say, "Oh, that's not my problem." Well, it is because you chose that career. You chose to be the public eye.
I'm not saying people shouldn't have an opinion, but my point.
No, but people will feel some type of way about it because it's like they have been wronged.
But
when
how?
When you're a public figure, unfortunately, you are a public asset, so to speak. People own you in brackets. Yeah, especially that kind of public figure. Okay, if we're talking about actors and so on and so forth, there are some gray areas like singers and whatnot. But he was a daytime TV presenter for the longest time. You know, he is a household name. Children, parents, mothers watch him and so on and so forth. You see, it's not that simple. And what he's done, it is. I like what he said. I did something unwise but not illegal. I agree with that, you know. Mm-hmm. According to the society that we live in, if you're 18 and over, you're an adult. You know, it's fair game, as we always say, it's fair game. Yeah. Okay, fair enough. He met the person when the person was underage, right? So I think for me, the question of did he groom him is a fair question because you can do that. But if they look at that and the answer is no, then technically there's no issue of wrongdoing. But what he's done in the public eye, it is technically he's let people down because you cannot do that. You're married and then you're cheating with somebody. You cheated with somebody who is considerably younger.
Are those new glasses?
Who? No, I've always had them. Glasses. Why?
I don't know. They just look clean. Go on. Sorry.
I mean, my vision is kind of clear. Sometimes I do take my glasses. I'm like, damn, how can I see? And I have to wipe them. You see, so it's like, I get it. To be honest with you, I get it. And it's something that I'm starting to realize now because I used to be like that. Yeah, you know, just leave the person alone. Why are they being driven through the mud? But that's the life you choose when you're a public figure. Because I'm thinking of that long-time sport presenter as well. What was his name? Not so long ago.
Sportsman, what did
they? Yeah, they Match of the Day presenter.
Oh, Gary Lineker.
Yeah, he went and said something as well on tweet or whatever that got him in trouble and so on and so forth. You know, again, freedom of speech and so on and so forth. But when you live that kind of life, unfortunately, the burden on your shoulders is kind of big because your decisions are not just your decisions.
But then my issue is the same people that are dragging him through the mud are the same people that, God forbid, the man did something to himself. I'm going to be like, oh, kindness. Isn't this the whole Caroline Flack situation?
No.
Where they dragged, the same people that dragged her through the mud are now the same people that want to be mental health ambassadors and mental health warriors after the fact.
Okay. So, I get that, but here's what I would say. We are not avoiding taking responsibility. Yeah. If you've done something I shouldn't have, or if you've done something that's wronged people because of who you are in the statue that you hold, you need to take responsibility. So he's being driven through the mud because he has to take responsibility.
But
right?
He has taken
now that doesn't mean
that was just character assassination. That's the problem. That it's going beyond what he's actually done.
No, I think the conversation is around what he's done. I don't think they're then digging up something else that he did years ago and then bringing it to light. I think the character assassination you're talking about is people just talking about, in their opinion, how wrong what he did is, which I would agree or disagree with them. Yeah, so I don't think they're making it personal, like going deep into years and, he's a trash, he's this. I don't think so. They're looking at what he did, and it's, the conversation is surrounding what he did. Right?
But people are going now, back years. Do you not see that tweet? They must have had a guest on the show. Like, and this is how you know humans are petty. They must have had a guest on the show like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And you know, like Holly and Philip will tweet after they've had their guest, like their opinions and stuff like that. So I don't know what he must have tweeted about this guest. This guest went and recouped that tweet and posted it. Mwah! Is this not you now? So people would go back
no,
to the
but
archives.
Again, yeah, I think fair enough. When you say, is this not you now? Was he saying something about... Anyway, I would have to understand that. But yeah, no, if people would do that. People will actually look maybe... Okay, if let's say I came out, God forbid, I'm like a pedophile or something like that. Yeah, let's say I've been caught, you know, doing some pedophile behavior and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're all going to sit here and start thinking about every time that maybe I was with children. Maybe if I was like, oh, auntie, let me babysit your children. You're going to question everything. Like, hold on, what was going on?
No, but yeah? that's in the context of what you have done. But for me, what I'm saying is, like, for example, this lady that I'm talking about on Twitter, she was just now retaliating. Does that make sense?
Retaliating how? So in that case, what did the tweet say? Because at first I didn't think it was important. But then from what you're saying, we would have to know what the tweet said.
Because your example falls within the same ballpark. So you've been convicted as a paedophile. Mm-hmm. And now people start thinking about every time you were with children.
Yeah. So for example, let me pause there. They're not
thinking about every time you're with adults because that's irrelevant.
Yes.
They're not thinking about every time you were in your van. That's irrelevant.
But if I had ever said something against paedophiles in one of the statements... All pedophiles should be burnt.
But again,
someone can bring that and be like, now let's burn you.
That's within context. What my point is, the point I'm saying is, I'm guessing whatever Philip had said about this person, it hurt them. So what he said was not anything to do with the situation now. So now
what did he say?
This person has just taken a chance now to have their own dig at Philip.
Okay, what did he say?
I can't remember the tweet. I've already said that.
But you know that it wasn't to do with this.
It wasn't to do with somebody cheating or being with a younger person. It wasn't in the
fair
context
enough.
Of what Philip has done.
Fair enough. So I have no comment on that because I don't know what the tweet was. But... in all fairness, you have the exceptions. You know the ones that are the back saying, burn him. They don't even know what's going on.
I was gonna say, isn't that fair enough, though? So if someone takes the moral high ground with you on any subject, and then you find out later on that they're a pedo, like in your example or something, are you not going to throw that time
in,
that they
in
took
my
the moral
mind,
high ground
I
with you?
I thought that's what the tweet was. So that's why I wanted to know what the tweet was. Because that would make sense.
He's saying it in the context of if somebody is a pedophile, you can question in terms of being with children.
Okay,
that's within the same book. That's the point he was making.
Forget the pedophile example thing, because... Let's say that's illegal. Let's just talk about moral high ground issue. So if someone takes the moral high ground with you on an issue, and then you find out later on that they cheated on their wife, they were having an affair. Then you will go back to that time they took a moral high ground on your stance on dogs, for example, and you throw them and you're like, oh, look at you now. Well, you know, 2 years ago, you're looking down at me
especially
on this.
Especially if when they said
look,
that,
so
they were engaged in this activity as well at the time.
That
makes it even more relevant.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Because it's like technically preaching righteousness. Oh, you people are doing this, I do that, and at the same time, I'm doing something unrighteous as well. You know, and people are like, oh, he's right.
So
he's
basically,
right.
Christians.
Yes, so he's right. And then the minute you find out that I was doing something unrighteous as well, you're going to hold on. You were the one pointing the finger. You see what I mean? So it makes sense. But unfortunately for me...
You know, like in... what's that show? Wild and Out, when... is it Michael Blackson? He's like, come here. Just to insult you.
That is such a niche example. That is such a niche reference. I mean, I get it. And everyone who watches Wild and Out will get it.
I mean,
I've seen a few Wild and Out stuff. Like, I've seen a few Wild and Out.
But it was stuff. A good example. Episode one.
Not even episode, clips on internet. Yeah. Like episode one. Go through it. But yeah, so for me, to be honest, as annoying as it is, so I wanted to come to your whole, let's say something happens, he takes his life and so on and so forth. And that's the thing, right? If this situation and what he's gone through has been so heavy on him, right, that it's taken a toll on his mental state or whatever, then he needs to get the help that he needs to get, right? That's a separate issue, right? Or if, unfortunately, God forbid, let's say he takes his own life, you know, that's not what the people that are assassinating him want. They don't want that. Nobody wants him to go kill himself or anything like that. But they are holding him to account on what he's done.
But then, I guess, let me ask this question then. Is there no limit in how we approach holding somebody accountable? Just because I'm holding you accountable, does it say I can go to any length, say whatever I want to say in whatever way I want to say it for the sake of holding you accountable? And if, as a result of that, you then harm yourself or take your own life, I was holding you accountable.
Okay, so here's the unfair world that we live in, right? Holding your account, I think Chin mentioned it already. There are certain people that are going to hold him to account properly, right? The ITV station that he was working for, I think he's already resigned. You know, I don't know if his wife or whatever is gonna divorce him or whatever.
I think that ended when he decided he was.
Fair enough, but and if he's broken any laws or whatever, the law is also going to take its course, right? That for me is holding him to account. That's it. It's ended. However, as a public figure, now the public are gonna have their day in court, so to speak. Right? Yeah. And that's where you get all these mean tweets on. That's where you get people expressing themselves and so on and so forth. And it does go really, really bad. Now, should they say everything? Maybe not. You know, can we stop it? Can we police it? I don't think so.
And you know what I think?
And he's going to have to take that on the chin, because unfortunately, that's what, the minute he decided to do this, that's what he risked. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just one of them. It's just
but
one of them.
Are we okay with just saying he's going to have to take it on the chin? Let me use my favorite example again. Mm-hmm. So you, in your current not so famous state, mm-hmm. one time got a comment that was not favorable and you obsessed over it. The one comment that was not favorable. Mm-hmm. And now this guy in his really famous state times that by 1,000, a million. Is that okay? Because he's a public figure.
You are looking at the people stopping commenting. Why don't we look at him deactivating his Twitter, Instagram, social media? He's not going to know about it. He's going to go about his business. He'll be okay. There will be a few instances he'll be in the streets and someone might shout rude stuff and whatnot, but it will be nowhere near as heavy as him sitting there reading all these things. Let him take responsibility. And sorry, turn off all your social medias. Let people, it will blow over. Guys, it will blow over. It will blow over. Who talks about R. Kelly right now? It will blow over, right? It will blow over.
That's got a point.
You know? So you can't look at changing the world. I mean, yes, I agree with you 100%. Don't get me wrong. I agree with you 100%. You know? Just because, you know, you remember that Black Mirror TV you got me to watch? You remember there was one episode about... you know, these people that are always commenting on certain things and people, that was such a good episode. Everyone that commented ended up dying, I agree with you. We can have a separate discussion about what the public's attitude towards these people. Someone has done something wrong. Is it okay for you to just fool in? You are trash, whatever. There's another person at the end of that phone. You are talking about somebody else. So sometimes we detach ourselves from these people. It's like, because they are not close to us, we don't care. We can just write everything. Venting. Is that okay? To be fair with you, no, it's not okay. So the public do need to watch themselves. So we can have that conversation, 100%. But in Philip Schofield's situation or anyone else's situation, turn off your social medias. Let people go to town. By the time you are coming back, everything will blow over. You get another job. You'll be okay. People have done worse things. All he did was have an affair, a gay affair with someone who was of legal age. His biggest crime, He knew this person when they were a minor. Did they do anything illegal or wrong? No, he can even provide all his correspondence with him. Everybody, I'm sure, they were able to read and see that, no, this was technically, this was okay. Until a certain time came when he was of age, they were in a dressing room, whatever, and something crossed the line. Fair enough. That is his biggest crime. Let's be fair. People have done worse. You know, it's not, let them blow over. It's fine. Philip, I got you, bro. I got you.
That's what I was saying. We just need somebody else to do something so we can be on news. And whose turn is it now?
Listen, come on, in this day and age. Nah, come on. In this day
but
and age.
Do you think we are living in a society that lacks accountability?
In what sense? What do you mean?
I think I liked what you said about we feel so detached from everything because everything is social media. I can talk to you here like this. You can put your phone up and there doesn't necessarily has to be a connection there. So has that given us a platform where we can do, say, be whatever we want to be without
having to be
held accountable? Because even the people that are saying the mean things.
Yeah.
Yes, if the guy decided not to turn off his social media and it's still all these things still filtering through and it got to him to the point where he ended his life...
Technically, that would be responsibility.
Do people sit and think those things that I said?
I don't know. No, finish what
you're saying. I'm not saying a single comment kills somebody off, but do people really sit and think about or take accountability?
What they're actually
or
saying.
Are people held accountable for the things that especially they post online, what they actually say?
I guess the question is, do they need to be?
Oof. Sometimes I think they need to be, especially the younger generation that's coming up, because I think once... accountability is lost in certain areas, accountability is lost in most areas.
But then when you're dealing with the public like that, the world, accountability means legislation, law, make it illegal and so on and so forth. It's very, very hard to hold a moral accountability with the public, right? Unfortunately, if it's within the law, it's fair game. No matter how unfair it's going to seem, because the question, if I post something online and you take me to court for that, the question that's going to be discussed in law is, did he break the law? You see?
Defamation.
Again, that is a case, though. That is legislation. It's because you've already said defamation. So, did I do that? There is something to discuss. There's something to look at and then judge my actions based on that. If it's within that... Have a good weekend, everybody, except you, John. F you, John. that's within my freedom of speech. I don't like you. that's within the playing field. So how are you going to police that? So it's unfortunate, but that's what we need. That's what democracy is. Because if there was a king, a dictator, he could just say, if I don't like a comment, you're gone. We'll see what people will be posting now.
Nothing.
We'll see what people will be posting now. Nobody will be posting. Have a good weekend, everyone. One love, everyone is preaching
love. That week, you might not like that comment. The fact that you said one love. Maybe you should two love.
What did you say, one?
No, it's a good question about the accountability thing. But then I guess the question is whether... accountability is needed, and if it is, who's
policing
dishing
that?
Out that accountability?
I think we should have the moral police.
But then that's the thing. They are so-called moral polices or online. They're the ones that police. I mean,
but they're not like actual job titles. It's not an actual organization.
But then,
you're through to West Midlands moral police.
But then, who's morality are we using? The Muslim community, the Christian community, the Hindu community, the secular community, whose morality are we using? Is a question. Because everybody's moral compass is different. Every community's moral compass is different. Because if we use the Muslim and proper Christian community, well, then there's no pride, there's no gay pride, there's no this, there's no that. And that's a moral issue for us as well. It's not just a religious thing, it's a moral thing. Because it's an immoral act, so it's like
it's immoral, isn't it? Are we not saying it's an immoral act because of religion?
But I think what he's saying
is belief, because of belief.
Morality sits in something. It doesn't.
Yeah, standard. Yeah, I agree with that. So I'm belief, saying that for Christian, morality sits in...
Not religion.
In, I mean, fine, it sits in faith.
Okay, yes.
Which,
yeah,
is, which,
yeah,
is religion.
Faith.
No, faith is not religion. Religion is the...
Umbrella.
This is how we do it. Faith is more, you know, the root of the this is how we do it. I guess is the simplest way to do it. But yeah, because someone can, because there are some people who are not Christians who believe that homosexual acts are immoral. They hold that belief, but they're not Christians.
Anyway, but yeah, I agree. Fair enough. I agree.
So it's anyway. But yeah, morality is. I think I always go back to it being a parenting issue or a family issue, because only parents and family and friends can hold each other accountable for the things that they say, for the things that they write, and everything else. Me, I can't hold someone on the internet in America accountable for what they say, but their sister can. Or their friend can, or their mom can. So I think those kind of things, it's more on a local level. Like, what kind of people do you have around you to hold you accountable for those things? Which I guess goes back to what I was saying. It's always about, family. It's always about the upbringing of people. But yes, yeah. So I do agree with you. Somewhat about the Philip Schofield thing, and I think like Pronick said, really, what wrong has he done? He's had an affair. Okay, who hasn't had an affair in the public eye? I mean, talking about like in terms of public eye and actors and presenters and whatnot, like an affair is not a new thing. It's not like, oh my god. I mean, the Karen King now had an affair with his Karen Queen.
That is...
That literally, if anything, it's an advert to say, have an affair, you might become queen one day.
Apparently she's now the poster child for side chicks. So.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, everyone is looking at her, listen, this is where side chicken can get you.
Exactly. So I really like what... Piers Morgan said, and I think it really sums up this whole Philip Schofield saga, which is, unless the person involved, the other younger person involved, contradicts his version of events in that they started when he was a minor, there's really no story here. The story here is he had an affair with someone younger than him. They lied about it to ITV when they asked them. He's been fired from ITV as a result.
But even okay, so, move the on. Younger than him bit can... be eradicated because
no, younger than him because that's the story. The story is he was younger than
but
him.
But again, that already insinuates something when you say, because it insinuates something, because remember when we first heard the story, we were the group of people, right? And when they read that, oh, he had an affair with somebody younger than him, and the comment was, oh, so he's like his brother then.
Okay, fine, fair enough. But in the context of what, because we've already specified that the guy was of age, and unless he contradicts the event, then there's no story there. But there reason has to be included. There's a reason why Leonardo DiCaprio, I think he's like 40 something, and he dates like exclusively 23, 24 year olds. There's a reason why that's news, because the age gap is significant. Huge. He's not doing anything wrong. We could literally be like, because when I saw that, I was like, okay. But I understand why they're talking about it, because it's like, yo, you're 40 something, you're dating someone half your age. Like, literally, this could be your daughter. That conversation is there, fine.
But is she though? No. Keep it moving.
So yeah, but if he contradicts or something else comes out that insinuates otherwise, fine, let's have a discussion. Other than that, listen, he's just the guy that screwed up. Got fired from ITV.
Literally. screwed up.
Go fired from ITV. And this whole talk about this morning being cancelled as a result, you know, because of the whole controversy and everything. And I'm like, really? If anything, maybe that's what leads me to believe that perhaps maybe there's more to the story than has hit the headlines at the moment. But we'll see. Because I don't understand why a bunch of people should lose their livelihood. Because the presenter guy had an affair with a co-worker. But again, it's really not an issue. But then, of course, off the back of that, we've had this conversation, but Pronik, I wanted to see what you thought about this. So obviously, we know what grooming is, right? Mm-hmm. And categorically, nobody is for grooming.
By the way, this conversation might single-handedly get us
mm-hmm. You know, nobody is for grooming or anything like that, right? Mm-hmm. But do you think waiting is as bad as grooming?
Okay. My answer is no. No, it's not. I have to wait until I'm 17 to drive. Mm-hmm. I have to wait until I'm 18 to drink. I have to wait until I'm 16 to get, you know, married, or 18 to get legally married. Mm. I have to wait until I'm a certain age to try certain things, to go certain places, casinos, gentlemen clubs, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Again, it goes back to the conversation around the laws of the society, mm-hmm. right? There are people out there that are wicked enough, or let me take away wicked, that don't have that moral compass, that social moral compass that tells them the norms of the do's and the don'ts that mm-hmm. I think a person should have, right? Mm-hmm. So they would look at a 16-year-old and think, ooh, fair game. And we're not even talking about 50-something. We're talking about, let's say, in your 20s. Because mm-hmm. 20s, 16 and 20 is not a big gap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can be a legit relationship, right? But legally, that person is still a minor. Mm-hmm. No matter how mature they appear, no matter how successful they are, let's say they are like an Instagram model or whatever, and they've been fortunate enough to hit it big, or maybe they started a business whilst they're young and they're in millions, it doesn't matter. According to the law, they are a minor. Mm-hmm. So as long as they are a minor, you cannot date them. So you meet somebody who you get on with, yeah, but they're a minor. You realize that, listen, according to the law, we can't do anything. I can't date you. We can't do anything. We can just be friends right now, and, you know, that's okay. Let's get to know each other, let's chat. But until you are of legal age, nothing can happen. But I'm willing to wait. Or you can even say, you know what? Let's not talk. When you are 18, come back to me. That's also a form of waiting. I think that's fine. I think it's not as bad as grooming. I think that is a person understanding that if they engage in this act, it's going to be illegal. And them deciding, no, I don't want to do something illegal. I want to stay legal. I want this to be a legit thing. I'm going to wait until it is right to pursue you. That's fine.
Okay. Fatani, what do you think?
I think I agree, but I think it's also what happens in those waiting years that makes the line blurry. Because, for example, if in those waiting years you're literally around that child every single day or every single weekend,
sending them pictures of your nudes, telling them you love them.
Okay, that's already crossing the line if you're sending them nudes.
Topless, like six packs.
Again,
still.
Hold on, I was at the gym today.
No. But so if you're purposely placing them in your life to direct them towards you, so not doing anything.
But then that would be grooming, isn't it? So the conversation is clear. Is waiting as bad as grooming? Because what you're saying there, I would say that's what grooming is. You're actually modeling them. Yeah, you're actually shaping them to think to make you the center of their world, basically. You know, I don't think that would be no longer waiting. I think maybe, unless if we can differentiate between what is grooming and what is waiting.
Right, because unfortunately, in this day and age, grooming is connoted in a negative form. But obviously,
that is very true.
Grooming as a word in itself without the it's negative not connotation,
exactly.
It is exactly that. Like, young boys are groomed
to be certain things.
Obviously, it's been given a new definition in recent years, so you can't just go around saying, oh yeah, I'm going to groom that child.
You say that in court. I groomed.
I'm going to.
Yeah, no, that is a fair point.
I don't know what church I went to, and somebody was doing a presentation and they kept using the word groom. And one auntie was like, can we change the word? Because can we change it to like mentor? Because obviously the word grooming has negative connotations these days. So it is genuine. It's like.
On that point though, do you think people that. I understand that sometimes you can hear it, the first time you hear a word is in a certain context or meaning or whatever. But do you think we should be high thinking enough to be able to differentiate a connotation of a word to the meaning of the word? Because in
you can be high thinking in court. or you can
just change the word.
I was saying, thank you.
But in that context, the person using the word is using it correctly in the meaning of the word.
Mm.
The auntie knows exactly what the guy means, which is why they asked, can you change the word? They weren't concerned like, oh my God, this person is good. They know exactly the context they're speaking of. Like, be a grown-up and just adjust your mental understanding.
Different. And as humans, sometimes we sit in situations and we feel uncomfortable because it's like, well, what's everybody else thinking in this situation?
Mm.
Well, what if somebody, I don't know, because obviously in that community, it was a close-knit community who understand the topic that's going on, but it's sometimes, or what if an outsider walks in and all of a sudden we're talking about grooming kids, this, that, and the other, it's going to be like, so I get what you're saying.
That's
and
fine,
I think
but again, the error is on, anyway, yeah, carry on. I mean, I get it. An argument can be made to say, you know what, you're communicating something, better be safe so that people understand what you're saying than use words where people misunderstand what you're saying. I get that.
Mm.
But then I feel like that's just giving leeway for people to be dumber.
Mm.
Because it's like, okay, I'm going to dumb down what I'm saying just to make sure you don't misunderstand me. But it's like, listen, I'm grooming my child to be a gentleman.
I'm grooming my child.
That's fine.
You're saying if that misunderstanding is going to get you in court, you're trying to justify the misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't cost you anything, and there's a word that means exactly the same thing and connotes exactly the same message, use it.
No, sometimes it's not the same, because grooming and mentor are two different things. Because grooming, you're actually preparing the person.
You're shaping them
for a certain thing. So like kingship, for example.
Who's molding?
You know, a prince is groomed to be a king.
Molded.
It's not really, maybe.
Fashioned.
No, to be honest with you, I agree with you.
No,
I think
yes. They communicate the same, yeah. I'm just saying
agree.
Grooming carries that.
I 100% agree with you. But like I said, well, like Pronik said, sometimes if it's going to end you in court... Just use a different word.
And Your Honor, he said it himself.
I've got a recording.
And you are there talking about, groomed her.
But this is the issue, because all these movements, the alphabet movements and everything else, that's what they do. They hijack a word, and now no one can use that word because now every time you use that word, it's in that context. And it's
alarms are raised. Like,
yeah. And it's like, no, that's not what this word means. The word means this. You don't redefine the word just because you want it to mean something. And I don't know. I think it's unfair. I think words have meanings. It's okay for a certain word to hold a certain connotation, like grooming. I get that. But that doesn't take away from the meaning of the word. So if I'm writing an article, I should be able to use the word grooming in the right context with the right meaning, and no one should be having hissy fits about
it. Or you can just leave that word to the terrorist. It's fine. They can own it. Yeah, it's fine. Because grooming is also connected with people that have been groomed to go support ISIS.
No, I think you're thinking of...
It is grooming.
Radicalized.
Oh. It starts off with grooming. You don't just got radicalized.
I wasn't thinking radicalized, but yeah.
Because grooming is part of the process, isn't it? You're trying to achieve something in the end.
Okay.
And I guess that's going back to the conversation we were having. How often you're in that child's life is going to be an indication of what your intentions are.
Okay, question. So, obviously, right now, the society is trying to get a lot more female engineers and, you know, civil engineers or whatever. So we can say that society is grooming females to be engineers.
Yeah.
This is my exact point. So it only becomes an issue when we don't agree with the end goal.
100%.
Okay. So the issue isn't the process. The issue is the outcome of the process.
Exactly.
So if I'm grooming someone, so in the context of children, it's usually for abuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm grooming someone to abuse them, it's bad.
Yes.
If I'm grooming someone to be my wife, is that bad?
Is the person a minor or not?
They're a minor, yeah.
It's in the society world, it's bad.
Why?
Because I think you are taking away their choice, so to speak. You are shaping them into. Basically, it's like you're making them into your slave. You're shaping them into your slave. That's the connotation that the world will have on it.
But the same way that society is trying to push women into engineering.
Yes.
This is what I'm saying. So what?
Because the world agrees. Okay, you know, it's really interesting because when you first asked the question, that came to my mind about, you mentioned about grooming children to be certain things, you know, so let's say Jews groom their children to be like, I don't know, whatever they're called, or Muslims are grooming Jews, their children.
Wow. I heard a word, I don't know what word. I was just waiting for the context to find out what word it was used.
You know, Muslims groom their children as well, Christians, it's like, everybody is grooming their children to be certain things in the society that they deem correct,
mm-hmm.
right? So the government is saying that grooming people to be engineers and stuff like that, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong or evil with that. And the same government is telling you that if you groom a certain person of a minor to be your wife, that's like acting selfishly. You're impinging on that young person's life and freedom. Therefore, the government is deciding that is wrong. So therefore, it's going to punish you for it. That's the world that we live in. The one that's got the more authority decides, dictates what is right and what is wrong. So yeah, it says the process is the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. But if you do it, it's wrong. If they do it, it's right. And that's the world we live in.
I think it's also in relation to when you're grooming somebody to be a romantic partner. It's not just, you're not just going to be hugging, are you? No, you're not just going to be holding hands.
Why not?
No, in the grooming phase, you might.
You're not just... At the end of it, there is going to be some form of sexual reward for whoever is the groomer, isn't there? And I think that's...
Is this while they're still a minor?
No, that reward comes in the context of the conversation we're having. That reward would come when they're no longer a minor, but you've put them in a position that's not going to be a hard thing to get from them.
Hold on, Sam. So what's the issue? No, what are you saying? What's the issue? No, I'm trying to, what are you saying?
So the issue is you've got a 14-year-old.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah.
You're attracted to them,
mm-hmm.
and you want something from them when they're 18.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be in their pants by the time they're
18. No, you want to marry them when they're 18.
Mm-hmm. So essentially you've fallen, it doesn't have to be all negative. Essentially you've fallen in love with this person.
And that's why I said you want to marry them, because this conversation quickly descends just to the pure physical.
Exactly.
I'm talking about you see someone, let's use 14 for a good example, because at that point it's I can agree that it's not unreasonable for you to start thinking of marrying someone. So let's say 14, for example, 14, 15-ish, right? You're like, okay, yeah, fine, I want to marry this person at 18. So yeah, you want to marry them at 18. Your intention is to marry them as soon as it's legal to do so. If it was legal at 16, you'd do it at 16. You'd
marry at 16 or even at 14, but you know it's not.
But you know it's not, therefore you're okay, fine, I want to marry them at 18.
But isn't that, I suppose, I'm not saying I agree, isn't that where the problem comes in? Because you've already said that for them, they have to be ready to marry you at 18.
No.
So you're doing everything that you can to ensure that by the time they're reaching 18, they're in a position where they also want to marry you, because you've already defined and set your dates.
Okay, fine. So I can agree that this is where it might get murky. I agree. Because I guess the question would be, at that age where, let's say you're 20 and they're 14, are you willing to accept that they may not want to marry you when they're 18? If the answer to that is no, then I can agree that turns manipulative, abusive, controlling, et cetera, fine. But then if it's a matter of, okay, they're 14, I'm 20, I want to marry them at 18... If they decide they don't want to marry me, it's their choice. Like, okay, fine. But I'm saying I want to marry them when they're 18. And usually that's what happens. I mean, obviously not anymore, but usually a man would see a girl, they'll be like, oh, I like this girl, I want to marry you. It's still the girl's choice to say no or yes. Granted, at 14, the law will say she can't agree to that. Fine, but then in your mind, you have still made that decision. I want to marry this girl.
The negative grooming comes in, because when you, there's some people that will make their mind up at 18, I want to marry this girl. And they'll do everything in their power to ensure that at 18, that girl is in the palm of their hands to marry them. And I'm guessing that's the negative grooming, because it doesn't leave opportunity for that girl then, once they turn 18, to be like, no, I'm doing my own thing. Whereas there's some people, if you're going to let the person be wild and free and do whatever they want, they get to 18 and they're like, my God, I'm going my own way. And you're like, okay, that's fine. I've got no problems with that. But I think, to be honest with you,
the reason why the whole grooming thing has got a negative connotation to it and is an actual thing is because what we forget as well is that, unfortunately, if you're a minor, for most people, you're actually haven't fully developed yet. You know, so you are you can easily be manipulated and made to see the world in a certain way. And that's where the negative grooming comes from. So in the examples you've given, I think we are, it's like we're approaching as if, you know, there's no relationship and then I'm just modeling you so you can come marry me. But you have to remember the 14-year-old and the 20-year-old will technically fall in love, right? Or there'll be a mutual attraction there. Yeah. And there'll be a conversation that's going back and forth. And that's why people, even with the Philip Schofield, that's why they're looking into that. Was there any grooming involved? Mm. Because they had a relationship. They were talking back and forth. So now they're looking at that conversation to see if there was, to see if the way Philip approached it, it was in a form of a grooming. You know, like he was trying to, he was manipulating him, you know, so that he can, and he can basically do whatever you want with him. Does that make sense? Mm. So that's where that comes from. But initially, it's because there's a relationship anyway. So in that context, at 18, you would assume that the 14-year-old is also going to want to marry the man because she loves him as well. But the question would be, is that love genuine, you know, or is it because it was manipulated in the form of grooming? Because you can argue as a 14-year-old, you know, maybe, like what you're saying, maybe that's not the man she might have wanted to marry had it not been for the manipulation. Does that make sense?
And I think that's the key word. It does, I think grooming has to go negative grooming has to go hand in hand with manipulation.
But this is what I mean about the negative grooming just depends on, I think Bronick put it wisely to say, it just depends on who has authority.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, fine. Let's look at some of the cultures.
Can you have positive grooming with manipulation? Because positive grooming.
I put it to you that every form of grooming involves some form of manipulation.
Mm. I would agree. Because
what you're doing, okay? So, Prince. What's the next king's name?
William.
No, the next king. Oh, he is the next king, isn't it? The younger one. Is it George?
Yeah.
No, honestly, I forgot about him.
You're just kidding. Imagine.
No. So Prince George, right? From the day that he's born, right? He is Prince George. And his future is certain. Should the monarchy exist, he will be King of Britain. And every day of his life has been conducted, manipulated as such, I would say. Controlled as such. He didn't get a choice in that. And if he was born and put in a different scenario, he wouldn't want to be king. He may even be anti-monarchy.
That is a good point.
He may actually be one of the people protesting against the monarchy. Get rid of them. We don't need them. Mm. But
because of where he was born.
By the time he's 15, he will know I will be king of Britain.
He'll be working around.
He will be pro-monarchy, pro-king, pro-everything. Maybe not everything. There might be some ideals that he'll defer, obviously. Mm. But obviously,
because that's how he's being shaped.
That's how he's from being, a young age, quote unquote, manipulated.
Mm. Ooh.
So
don't let the royal family listen to this. We're not gonna make you fall.
The point I'm making again, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not supporting grooming of young children or anything or whatnot. All I'm saying was
it's just a realization on who says what's wrong.
If we look at the cultures where, you know, the ones that betroth each other when someone's born, like let's say someone's born, it's okay, you're going to marry this person, right? Mm-hmm. So which means for the whole growing years, pubescent years, teenage years, like this is the wife of so and so, right? And that's how they're raised, that's how they're brought up, that's how they're told, okay, do this. Someone could come to them and say, oh, you've manipulated this child since birth.
Mm.
You've made the choices for them, blah, 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 blah. And say, yes, they would be right, but that doesn't mean it's wrong. Mm. Or that doesn't mean what they've done is wrong or immoral or incorrect or whatever. I'll put it to you, every child is raised and like that. If the parents are not doing it, the government are doing it.
Mm.
And I think it's better if the parents do it, but okay, I've sidetracked. I always go back to the parents.
Are not on crack.
I have a big issue with parents. But yeah, so the point I'm making is that... What point was I making? It was about the grooming. About the manipulation. Yes.
Positive and negative.
Yeah, to say that it sounds to me like grooming is not the issue. The outcome is the issue. And the one that decides whether the outcome is right or wrong is the one that deems whether that grooming process is right or wrong. Because, let's groom all women to be free thinking, to be independent or whatever. Yeah, that's great. No one is going to argue with me against that.
Mm.
Okay, fine. But let's groom these women to be wives. Oh, no, you can't do that. That's taking away their freedom.
Mm.
Well, no, I've taken away your freedom when I've decided that you're going to be an independent thinker. You have no choice in that. I've already taken away your freedom. That's the point I'm making. That there's, I guess, Gunnar Pronick says, there will be a puppet hand involved somehow or some way. It just, I guess, just depends on whose puppet hand you want involved.
Whose hand you want up your...
Pretty much, to be fair. It sounds like
that. That hashtag for Susan Boyle.
Hey, poor lady. What was the hashtag?
No, yeah, I'll have to show you afterwards.
Oh, good.
No, the hashtag was Susan Album Party. That was the hashtag. But when you break it down, it doesn't say Susan Album Party. But that was the hashtag, Susan Album Party. I'll show it to you. But any keen listeners would have figured out in their heads. But anyway, listen.
Dumb.
I'll show you. Don't try to figure it out. I'm not asking you to figure it out. I'm just saying I'll show it to you. But
can I have a pen and paper, please?
The Phyllis Coffey thing did actually constitute our big question there, because that was the big question I was asking about. Mm-hmm. Is weight in the same as grooming? But again, I really just want to specify, because I know there'll be someone who's listening and be like, wait, are they just saying that grooming is okay?
There's always someone who hears one thing. They're not even going to finish the podcast. They'll pause, ding, off POV, pro-grooming.
So, no.
Like the lady that went to interview Andrew Tate without finding her facts properly.
Yeah, so we're not pro-grooming in the way you understand it. And we're not pro-grooming in the way of abuse or anything to do with minors or anything like that. I guess what we're discussing about is the meaning of grooming and just the realization that actually there's nothing wrong with grooming in itself as a process. The issue is the outcome. And I guess the one who is dictating the moral code...
Because the intentions and the
outcome. The moral code is one that deems whether the outcome is right or wrong.
Mm. But I think we also share... There's also a shared morality into how certain grooming is just wrong. I guess that's where you're trying to clarify that.
Yes, yeah. Which I was saying about the... I think as soon as abuse is involved, there's no conversation for me there. If you're abusing someone, either a minor or an adult, then there's still abuse in there. Mm. Where that's involved, that's not the conversation we're having here. So if any of you bring abuse into the thing, then you've misunderstood the whole thing. Mm. but yes, in any case, I guess the advice to Phyllis Schofield is very clear. Keep your head down, it'll blow over.
No, wait, exactly. Keep his head down where?
It'll blow over where?
Surrounded by children.
What's your problem, man? Pick your words carefully.
You're talking about the grooming.
Give it a couple of years. He'll go public with the young person. They'll still be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Most likely. Well, it depends.
Yeah, well, because the young person has been quiet. I don't think they've released his picture yet. I think they're blurring all his pictures. Mm. So I think maybe he just wants to keep his anonymity, stay out of the limelight. And I think that's smart. I think that's very smart. But...
Well, he's waiting for the right moment so that Phyllis Schofield doesn't take his limelight.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. It could be on Piers Morgan Uncensored.
Oh, going to
and tonight's show, the truth finally revealed. Oh, my God.
He would eat that up. Yes. He would eat that up.
That's a merit.
He would eat that up.
All right. Anyway, ladies and gents, I think that will do for our first episode back. Thank you very much for joining us after our little hiatus. We will be back consistently going forward every single Thursday. Mm. And of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't done so for any extra bits and bobs that we may put out as well. Anything else?
I think that is it.
No, sir.
We're going to start a GoFundMe page for our studio to be rebuilt. Please be generous. Are we not?
No, we're not starting a GoFundMe page.
I feel that they're the greatest things I've ever created. You know, I didn't know you could just start a GoFundMe page and people just give you money.
I don't think that's the consensus of a GoFundMe.
It's not the point, but yeah, you can do it for anything if you want.
You know, I'm going to try one now. Help Pronick.
You could. There's some people that just go through GoFundMe pages looking for causes to donate to. Mm.
people, they pay my bills because clearly they've got.
Well, no. In fact, I would argue that that's probably a better way to do charity than okay. No. I'm not gonna say that because I'm not one of those people that speak against the big charities. Even though when you look at their reports and everything, you see that they do waste a lot of money. But that's not the point. My point is, if you really want to help like individuals in what they're doing, then yeah, go through.
So there's a whole page. There's a website where you can find like GoFundMe pages and all their causes.
Yes.
GoFundMe.
Oh. I thought you only find them in statuses once they've been created and end up being circulated.
I don't think I'll do it. I feel like I ask this question every podcast.
So yeah, so keep an eye out for Pronix GoFundMe page so we can rebuild the studio.
Yeah. So if you actually want to help someone, yeah, go GoFundMe page, see, come across a cause that really speaks to you, send them some money. Most of them actually, you know, go to the causes that the state, unless you come across Pronix, then stay away.
Guys, I bought a Rolls Royce.
No, to be fair, it wouldn't be his fault if he says, this is my GoFundMe page, I want to buy a Range Rover, and he got the money. Yeah. Then, you know, that's fine. You've said what you wanted it for. People want to support your Range Rover. Then that's fine. That's fine. Anyway,
ladies and then I buy the Range Rover, like, GoFundMe page, you pay my insurance. I didn't realize how much this thing costs.
Oh, jeez. Anyway, ladies and gents, welcome back to Offbeat POV. My name is Chin.
I'm Pronik. It's good to be back.
And I have been your favorite girl, Fatani.
And we will see you
the
next
only
Thursday.
Girl.
Right here.
I am the favorite.
On Offbeat POV.
I'm still the favorite.
That's it.
Be warm. I mean, what was it?